Nehemiah. We'll go back to chapter number 2. I won't ask you to stand this morning. We're just going to read sections of this first verse of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Continuing in our thought of faithfully moving forward. And it's this subject I've told a few of you, this subject of waiting. It's amazing how I didn't expect it to kind of be drawn out, but it is. I think maybe a testament to the subject of waiting is that it may take a few weeks to get through this. And we preached from the first verse last week, but we're going to look there again. My heart was struck in the first few words of this first verse. And now remember, Israel had fallen into captivity that God said that they would fall into. When God makes a promise, he keeps a promise. Amen. Amen. He told Israel, if you walk away from my words, if you turn your hearts and your minds to false gods, to the gods of this world, if you turn against me, you'll pay for it. And generations will pay for it. And Nehemiah, he grows up here in a day and a generation where he grows up in captivity. Now, much like we see in the life of one of my favorite Bible characters, Joseph, Nehemiah was exalted. He was the cupbearer to the king. And so he was in a foreign land, but God exalted him there. And we see God exalted Esther there. And we know that God lifts and exalts up his children wherever they go. But the fact of the matter doesn't even go back to the land. You see, we value sometimes too much the physical. God promised Israel the land, amen? But it wasn't necessarily the land that's the most important thing. It's the fact that God's children had somewhere to dwell in peace together. So it was their fellowship that marked the importance of their obedience to God. It wasn't that God was going to give them land, they were all going to get rich. And God, I mean, obviously we know and we see it's the land where the milk and the honey flows, and God blessed them, but it didn't take long for materialistic things to become important. It didn't take part for complacency to become important. It didn't take long for them to kind of realize the generations go by and they sit down and realize, well, hey, that's just what grandma and grandpa believed. And they went back to the old pagan ways and the old evil ways, and they started worshiping the evil and wicked gods of this world. And because of that, they fell into captivity. And Nehemiah looks at his home of Jerusalem, his ancestral home, and he knows and he hears what's going on there, and he knows that the walls and the gates have fallen, and he's praying. That's what we talk about throughout this series. He's praying, and he's got on his heart a burden for his people. We said last week, our thought last week, faithfully moving forward in your life may mean the only thing that you have to do is to wait and pray. And that's not easy. But the thought I want to share this morning is that waiting and praying, that may be what you have to do, but it may mean that it takes time to see God move. May mean that it takes time to see God move. So let's read this first verse of chapter 2. And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. And so we're going to look this morning, this thought of it may take some time to see God move. It had been roughly 3-4 months since Nehemiah really got burdened and had been praying specifically about Jerusalem. It had taken roughly 4 months' time. And I talked last week, and let's recall and let's remember, we don't like waiting, amen? I talked about waiting there in line at the check bag line at the airport, and how I got frustrated because everybody's angry and they're mad. But there's times Josh don't like waiting, I guarantee you. This morning, I needed me a biscuit on the way to church. Anybody say amen on that? I needed a biscuit. Shelby said, we got this, we got that, we got that. I need a salty, buttery Bojangles biscuit. Guess what? The line's all the way around Bojangles on Patton Avenue. And I said to the effect, Bojangles, you've let me down again. Service ain't fast enough. Well, I get over to McDonald's and there's less people in line. I don't want a McDonald's biscuit. I want a Bojangles biscuit. And I get in line and there's only three or four people in line. And guess what? I'd have probably been better off just going down to Bojangles and waiting in the line around the building because it took just as long at McDonald's. We don't like to wait on anything. Anybody remember dial-up internet? You had to wait on dial-up internet, amen? You see an image come up. Waiting, and there's racket to go along with it. Man, now anything I want right here on my phone, I can pull it up in seconds. And guess what? When it don't work, I don't like to wait. I'm impatient. But guess what? Nehemiah, he'd been doing some waiting. 3 or 4 months, he had been waiting on God. He'd been waiting on God to move. And moving forward may mean that you have to wait. And you need to be praying while you're waiting. And you're going to get impatient. And there's times, like Brother Scotty talked about before service this morning, there's times where you may ask God, why did this happen? What's going on? But read this first verse in the beginning there with me one more time. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. That's what I want to talk about this morning. It may take some time to see God move in your situation. But the truth is, it is going to come to pass one day, some way, somehow, through His power, through His ability, not through your own, it will come to pass. Whatever it is you're waiting on, and I'm preaching to the choir myself this morning because I'm waiting on a few things. I've told you about it. I'm not going to hash it all out again. I'm waiting on a few things in my life. This has been a tough season and a hard time for our family, and I'm waiting. And we talk about when God delivers this and when things change. And I've already told Shelby, when we get delivered from this, this is going to be an emotional time for me. I'm not an emotional person. It takes a lot to draw a tear from my eye. It takes a lot for me to be emotional. I had to bury my dog the other day. That's an emotional moment right there. I mean, I don't know. It just right down inside of you pulls it out. But, hey, I resist it. I don't want to cry. Nobody's coming around me because I don't want anybody to see my emotion. I don't want anybody to know. When I get back home, I'm going to be fine so nobody sees this emotion. I've told Shelby, this storm we're going through, when God delivers us, from this storm we're going through, I'm going to be emotional. I ain't going to be able to help it. I'm going to come in here, and y'all going to have to bring me tissues. And just because I know how great it's going to be when God delivers me from what I'm going through. So I want to encourage you today that you may be going through something. And God may be on the cusp of delivering it. And what we see right here in Nehemiah 2 verse 1 is that the deliverance Nehemiah was looking for came to pass. It came to pass. And when it comes to pass, it's a glorious thing. And when your situation comes to pass, I want to be there and celebrate with you. And when my situation comes to pass, I hope you can come and celebrate with me. Because it's a glorious and wonderful thing when God delivers His children of their burdens. Hey, being in this Christian way and walking this path, you may be forced to wait on God. You will be forced to wait on God. Maybe the only thing you have to do is to pray and to wait. But the thing is, there's a time and a day and a moment coming where it will come to pass. I mean, praise the Lord on that one. It's going to come to pass. But guess what? It comes to pass in His time, not your time. That's what I have a hard time understanding. Is I'm somebody that if I can make my preparations, and I can set everything up the way I feel like would be the best way to receive things. If I can move this piece and move this piece and talk to this person and talk to that person and get this lined up and get this lined up and get this set up and get this prepared, then it's all just going to work out. And there's been times in my life where it's all worked out, and that's great. But I'm learning that the more complex and the more difficult and the more weight comes with some of these decisions in my life, I'm realizing it don't always work out that way. And that's tough. Shelby and I, anybody I've ever been around that we've talked to about our situation, especially in the professional world, I talk to my managers and leaders and in the banking world, and I remember a couple of my managers discussing our life, and we got married. I was 21, she was 20, and that people thought we were crazy. And it's like, everybody got married at 16, however long ago. For some reason, we're crazy for getting married young. In a few years, we buy land. God opened the door, and he gave us peace about buying the land. A year later, we started building a house. That winter, we moved into that house. The February after that, I come home one day after work. Shelby says, I'm pregnant. We have I forgot the dog. We got a puppy before all this. Then, started pastoring a church. Resigned that church, didn't know what we were going to do. Nearly 2 years ago, this July, preached my first message at Mountain View Baptist Church. Can you believe that? You're like, yes, we have felt the pain for 2 years. Then, after we came here, we didn't really know what was going to happen, what was going to take place. We did know one thing. Shelby's pregnant again. And we sold the house. Then we moved in to live with my parents for 6 to 8 months while we built a house. Been a year and a half. We signed a contract on one house, and that fell through. Now we got another one going. Nervous as a shot cat. See, everything up to a point worked out perfectly in our life. It was like it just fell right in our laps. But as time has went on, it's not gotten any easier. And if you feel that way, and if you're going through something, if you can say, man, you look back, and people, the people I was talking about, they'd say, man, you do everything at once, don't you? Guess what? Worked in three different roles in the bank during that time. I mean, nothing ever just stops and stays the same. Nothing. About the time I get used to something changes. But such is life, amen? My manager, she says one day, she says, man, you do everything at once, don't you? I'm like, what do you mean? The dog, the house, the kids, everything. Do it all at once. It was easy then. For some reason, been hitting a wall. And it's been hard to stop and realize I need to slow down and wait and pray. It's been hard to do that. But this has tested me, and it's tried me, and it is, I hope, refined me and developed me and grown me individually, my faith and my walk with the Lord. Our marriage, I feel, when we come out of this, our marriage will be strengthened and grow stronger. I feel that I will be able to be a better pastor and a better leader and a better daddy and a better all those things. But what God wants to teach me through this is between me and him. There are benefits that will come out of what I'm going through, but God was developing Nehemiah to be Nehemiah. Not to do any of those other roles. He was developing Nehemiah to be Nehemiah. He knew that it was going to take some fire to make a man that could go to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and reestablish the gates and run out the wicked and run out the evil people that had taken over Jerusalem. So let me tell you about what you're going through right now. It may be the place, and I know it is the place where God is working on you. And you can choose to let this storm develop you and grow you, or you can pout about it. And come out with no lessons learned. I spent some time kicking my can down the road, so to speak. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. And I've had to really lean on God. And hey, guess what? If you can't understand what's going on, lean on God. It's like bad things start happening, and we run away from it. Nehemiah is going through this storm in his life in this 3-4 month period. He is spending time taking this burden that was laid upon him and giving it back to God. Lord, I need you to help me carry this. I need you to bear this. I need you to lift me up. I need you to pick me up. I need you to push me forward. And I realize I've been spoiled. There's not a generation that's had more access, opportunity, capability than my generation. I mean, it's amazing. I've been spoiled for things to come, and some things have been easy. Some things have been, man, that just fell right into place. I've started to hit some storms. They haven't fell right into place. Sometimes things fall into place, and then they fall apart. What I'm learning to see, Brother Donnie, is that on the other side, when it comes to pass, I will be right where God wants me to be. I will have grown how God has wanted me to grow. And if I will lean on him, if I will pray, if I will wait, if I will be patient, I will come out stronger than I ever was before. And so wherever you are right now in this storm, you're bound to have one because you're a human being. You're bound to have a storm right now in your life. There's coming a day where it will come to pass. But listen to this. We are living according to God's perfect timeline, not our impatient outline. We're living according to God's perfect timeline, not according to our impatient outline. I like outlining things. I like making plans. I like writing things down. If we can just do this, if we can just do this. Me and Shelby sat down when we first got married, and we made a 10-year plan and a 15-year plan and a 20-year plan. And hey, it's great to make plans. I'd love to know where that thing is if it ain't in the trash, because I'd love to read it back and see how wrong I was, because I guarantee I was wrong. Amen? Anybody been wrong? About the time. Man, if we'll just wait this long, we'll have kids. Guess what? There's some people they never get to. There's some people it takes 20 years. And when we found out about Riley, not long after, it's like, man, this wasn't according to the plan. This wasn't according to the timeline. This wasn't according to what I wanted and what I think. My manager at the time, she's mid-40s or late 40s. She's got a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old. She wanted to have kids at 20. It took her about 15 years. In my experience, sometimes it's hard to forget. Some things just so naturally come to us. And we ought to be thankful that, man, God gave me Riley. God gave me Isla in his timeline. Learning to be thankful that God gives in his timeline, because it's not that way for everybody else. And I want to be appreciative, because you know what? For other people, the house, the kids, the deliverance, whatever it is in their life, that they go through the fire and it takes them years, it takes them months, it takes them a lot longer than it ever took me. They're so appreciative because of the time waiting and praying. I want to be that way. I want to be thankful. I thought the house situation we've went through, I thought that was going to just come so easy. Guess what? The first time around, it did. Prices were cheaper. Land was cheaper. And it was before COVID. There wasn't any delays. It just fell right into place. I thought that was going to happen again, Brother Sam. But I'm telling you what, when God delivers us from this storm we're going through and this difficulty in our life, it's going to be a glorious day and a glorious moment. And it will be my responsibility to give him the glory for delivering us from this situation. And I realized that if I had gotten anything out of this circumstance in my life before now of my own doing, it wouldn't be right. There's a reason There's a reason that things have not worked out the way I thought they would work out. I had a timeline. I had an outline. I had a plan. We just go here and, hey, you go give somebody some money. Money is a motivating thing. It motivates me to make decisions or do things. You go offer somebody some money and it'll just work out. It's not how it works. It takes God's time and God's will and God's plan. And when you get what God has for you, it may mean that you have to wait. But when you get it, it'll be right. If you force something in your life, a situation, dealing with a family member that's astray, dealing with a coworker that's done you wrong or lied about you or tried to harm you, dealing with people in the community that says things about you or tried to hurt you, dealing with an ex-spouse or dealing with children that have went the wrong way in life or dealing with business decisions, dealing with money, dealing with your spouse, dealing with all these things. If you force that situation into what you want it to be, it will be wrong every time. But when it happens according to his timeline, it'll be perfect. You say, well, the outcome still not perfect. Did you wait on God? Did you pray? I did. If it happens according to his will, it's perfect. I told somebody, I may have mentioned this last Sunday, I'm sorry. My grandfather passed away. Me and Ed were talking about this. My grandfather passed away. After some time, I told somebody, I said, it couldn't have went any better. They're not a Christian, this person I told this to. What are you talking about? I said, the way my grandfather passed away, it couldn't have went any better. They're like, you're crazy. No. Listen, God opened the door. We spent two full days, my whole family spent two full days with my grandfather before he died. He held Riley for the first time the day before he died. We spent the whole 2 days there at their house working. He held Riley. You go inside, he'd be scared to get him because he'd gotten feeble. We go in that day. He said, give me that boy. Plops him up on his lap. I got a picture of it. Get a call. Shelby gets a call about 3 o'clock in the morning, wakes me up, go to the hospital. We all get to see him. He was unresponsive at the time. They had him in the ER, and the time me and my brother got to see him, and the time they wheeled him from the ER to his room, he was on his last few breaths. But the sun was coming up over the mountains and shining its light into that room on a Sunday morning, the day my grandfather died, and it couldn't have went any better. And people say, you're crazy. I feel blessed that it happened that way because you know what? There's a lot of people that don't have that kind of story and that kind of testimony. But I know some people, it happened a lot worse to them, and they said, it's according to God's plan, and it's exactly what God had for us in our life. And I want to be that kind of Christian. When things go my way, it's easy to say, it's perfect, it was great. Sometimes things are not going to go your way. And I want to be the kind of Christian that when they don't, I will be waiting, and I will be patient, and I will be praying. And even when they don't turn out the way that I want, I can say it's according to God's plan. Moving forward, it may mean waiting and praying. It will mean waiting and praying. Moving forward may mean that it takes some time to deliver what you're going through. We want our timeline. We want to place an order. See, we're so spoiled. Amazon, my goodness. 2-day shipping, and I like it. It's nice. 2 days. I mean, used to, you'd order something, and it's a big deal. Guess what? 7 days. Cannot buy it in a store. 7 days, it'll be on my front porch. Now FedEx, USPS, UPS, they need to help us pay the gravel bill on our driveway now. Everything we buy is on the internet. We're so impatient because we're used to 2 days shipping. We're used to drive-through. We're used to going into a restaurant. We sit down and the food's right in front of us. We're used to turning on the TV and the TV works. We're used to getting on our phone and the internet works. We're so used to everything. Instant gratification is the problem. Instant gratification. And when we go and deal with the God of heaven, we call out on his name, he doesn't always give instant gratification for our desires. And guess what? That's all right. He's God. He knows. God, I got this outline. Literally show the God of heaven, the creator of heaven, earth, man, all the beings and the creatures. He created the air. He's created the stars in the sky. And we go to God and we say, Lord, I've got a plan here. You see, when things come to pass for Nehemiah, God already knew how they were going to come to pass before he created heaven and earth. He knew they were going to come to pass. And your situation that you're going through right now, God knows right now how it's going to come to pass. All it is him speaking and saying, it comes to pass. There's a lot of talk about the end times, the return of Christ, and the rapture of the church, and there should be. The only thing holding Christ back from returning is the will of God. But he already knows. He already knows. He knows when he'll say, go and get my children. He knows when judgment will be brought down upon this earth. He knows already. Yet it takes speaking. Thinking. I don't know. All it takes is his will. It's time for it to come to pass. Your situation right now, the most difficult thing you're going through. You see, I've been praying for a year. I've been praying for 4 months. I've been praying for 10 years. I've been praying for 20 years. I ain't lived long enough to pray for some of those things. So I've been praying for this 40 years. I don't know, but he does. If he cried at Lazarus's grave when he knew that he would speak and Lazarus would walk out of that grave, if he cried at his grave when Jesus Christ knew that he would speak and he would walk again, if he cried then, he hurts for your pain. If he cries and is burdened over things, if he cries about sin, which he knows he already has victory over, he cries when we disobey him, when he knows that our sin is cast as far as the east is from the west. If he's that sensitive and he's that loving and he's that caring, you feel so alone in what you're going through, but he cares and he hurts for you and he prays for you. But it's according to his time as to when you'll be delivered from it. Share a quick thought, illustration, or a story real fast. Church, I spent many years in growing up. Shelby, funny thing, we went to two different churches, grew up, went going to two different churches at two different times. She grew up at this church and started going to a different church with her family, and then our family started going there. I thought if I'd have been here a year earlier, she'd have never had to go on another date with anybody else. She'd have just known. But this church I'm talking about, I grew up there. Shelby grew up there and can attest these people, very sweet, kind people. There was a woman in that church, two of her sons, and her husband, more or less, alcoholics. Her two sons quit going to church when they were 18 years old. This time they're in their early, mid-30s. 10, 12, 13, 14, 15 years go by. This is a praying church. The altar was open. I'm here as a witness. As honest as I can be with you, that altar was open. That woman was in the altar praying for those two boys and her husband. Now, I knew all these people. I hung around all these people. I knew the devil had such a grip on these men and their families. Both of those men, their wives and their kids went to our church. The altar would open and they would come as a family to this altar. They would call out on God. 5 years goes by. 10 years goes by. 15 years goes by. And one Sunday morning, I will remember it till the day I die. The choir was singing. It was like something out of a movie, except God put this together. This was God's production. He was the director. There were three men walked in the back door. These two men and their brother-in-law. You get a bonus there too. The one, I'm sure she was praying for him, but she was praying for her sons. Guess what? Their cousin came with them. They'd all quit going to church at 18 years old. They walk in that church and they sit through the service. They go to the altar. And guess what? They're the leadership of that church now. And I cannot forget the shouts and the sobs and the praise and the singing that took place that day. It was as close to heaven as I've ever been in my life. True glimpse of what heaven will be like. Celebration. The prodigal sons, literally. Three of them. Guess what? Their other cousins started to come to church. Been out of church 20 years. Guess what? They're married. They're doing good. They got kids. They got families. They're the leadership of this church. If she had had it her way, they'd have never quit going to church. But guess what? Somebody, you know those people you call if you need somebody to pray about something? That's somebody right there. There's a church right there. I'd call and say, hey, will you pray about this? Because guess what? They will. And those prodigal sons, they're going to be in the altar praying about it with me. Guess what? It was God's timing that made them and molded them and created them. Now, obviously, they rebelled against his will and they went against his word. But my goodness, when God restored them, it was glorious. Go prepare the fatted calf. Put a robe on them. Put rings on their fingers. Put shoes on their feet. When it's in God's timeline, it's perfect.